But besides that, he said unto him, which Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Of course, the commandment that was missing is what? On the second half. Thou shalt not covet. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted God, but he didn't want God to be the God of his possessions. He wanted God, but he didn't want God to be the God of his possessions. Sounds like America, doesn't it? You know, if God isn't the God of your possessions, then he's not your God. That's really what he's saying here. And that's why this man couldn't get saved, is because he didn't want God to be the God of his life. But there's an issue here, and we understand it. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. A rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We live in America. We know how important money, even if people don't have it, money is really important to people. And people who have a lot of it, it's very important to them. You know, money is a big thing. Money is a big thing, and it has a direct access. It's connected to a person's heart. That's the whole issue. It's connected right to a person's heart. Money. And he said, the disciples, when they heard this, they were exceeding amazed and saying, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? Wow. And Jesus said unto them, with men this is impossible. That's right. With men, this is impossible. There are a lot of people that would fit into the impossible category, wouldn't there? A lot of people would fit into the impossible category. You think about them and you say, oh, you know, you just look at the monumental obstacle, whatever it is, money, oh, wow. I remember one time I was witnessing to a man, the wife had come to church, and he owned a excavating company. And I went there because his wife had come to church, and I knew he was unsaved, and tried to witness to him, but what he said to me revealed what he was thinking. He said, I know why you're here. He says, you want me to help you build a church building. Now, we didn't have a church building at that time. And that's not why I went there. I went there to try to lead him to Christ. But what was he thinking? He was thinking about his money, right? Well, you know, people have things on their mind, don't they? You know, there's a lot of impossible situations in life. And, you've probably been in this situation where you knock on somebody's door and a young lady answers the door and you start talking to her and she's somewhat interested and somehow, you know, the conversation comes out that she's living with her boyfriend. And in a minute or so, the boyfriend kind of speaks up and says, "Tell him to leave." Well, he doesn't want his girlfriend to get saved. He doesn't want her to get saved. He wants to continue in his sin. You know, they have something on their mind, don't they? This young man had something on his mind. You know, the comfort of his riches, all the things he could buy with his riches, the easy life he could have with his riches. I mean, that's what he was thinking. He didn't want to give that up. That was more important to him than God. Actually, it was his God. But we're talking about reality. There's a lot of people today that we would classify as impossible. Right? They're just, you'd say, boy, it'd be a miracle for them to get saved. Maybe we wouldn't say it that way. Some people say, oh, they're never going to get saved. And this is what this verse is about. All those people. You know, that's true, isn't it? You know, if you're a lady in this church and you dress like a lady and you witness to somebody, you know what? It probably is the fact that they're thinking in their mind, I don't really want to listen to this person because I don't want to dress like that. I don't want to live like that. You know, that's how it goes. I remember before we even chartered the church, somebody came to a Bible study. We had a Bible study. It was savings and loan, and the man came to the Bible study. I went to visit him, and he said, "I'm not interested." I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I'm not interested." He says, I said, "What do you mean?" Now, he claimed to be saved. "I'm not interested." I says, "Why?" He says, "You don't believe in drinking, do you?" And I says, "Nope." He says, "I'm not interested." Right? That's the way it is. Not interested. It wasn't about Bible. It wasn't about God. It wasn't about anything important. It was what he wanted to do in life. So, here's the category. Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. This is impossible. From a human standpoint, yes, it is impossible. And you can probably think of people right now who you would say, oh, impossible. Impossible. But the Lord has a different answer. The Lord says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I think the issue here is, number one, saving people is not about human effort. It's not about man. It's about God doing the impossible. Now, so let's have the first fact. Reality, the rich man, impossible. The Lord confirms that. But now he causes us to focus on God's ability in the impossible. So there's a response that we have to have. Number one, we have to have a response of faith. Now, if we're going to look at souls and we're going to have this attitude, forget it. Not going to work. Nobody's going to get saved. The problem is, we don't believe God. We're not focused on God. We're focused on man. And we got to get our eyes off of man. We got to get our eyes off the impossible. We have to get our eyes off of the problem. Yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah. And with man, it never will happen. Never will happen. But if that's where we keep our eyes, it won't happen. If that's what we're focusing on, that won't happen. And so God is, the Lord is making us sure that we take our eyes off of ourselves, off of the situation, after even the human reality, and we recognize that it is possible with God. Amen? And so this whole thing is we have to have the right attitude before the Lord. We have to have the right thinking about this. This isn't about us. This is about God. Amen? And we have to recognize that God can't work through us if we're, saying this is impossible. How could, there's no faith in that, is there? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, yes, God is the one who works in the... Now, sometimes we need to get to the place that we finally realize that we can't do it. Sometimes that's what it takes. Of course, if you aren't trying, you never say that anyhow. But you need to come to a place where you say, well, we just can't do it. You know, God's got to do it. And that's exactly where we need to be. So we need to have this recognition. We need to have this faith that God is able to do it. And God is the God of the impossible. That's an important starting point. That God is the one who does the impossible. Now, if you go to university, you could say, this is impossible. You could say that, couldn't you? This is impossible. Oh, great to pass out tracts, you know, to see people get saved, get converted, really, you know, in the midst of all that compromise there. Can there be a real convert there? Yep, there can be. There can be a real convert. Amen. But it'd be God that does it. And so, we need to have our focus on God. Secondly, we need to believe that God can do it. And then we need to act like God can do it. We need to act like God can do it. You know, I've talked to some people about the article about Spurgeon's church about prayer. And you know, a person, if anybody knows about Spurgeon's church and about the thousands of people that came to Christ, you'd say, you know, it's all about Spurgeon. He was a great preacher. You know, somehow he just knew how to to lay it on the line and preach with faith. A lot of people don't know the inside story with Charles Spurgeon. His sermons have been printed and reprinted and read and reread, et cetera, et cetera. But most people don't understand Charles Spurgeon was human. He was real human. He suffered tremendous depression, bouts of depression. He was a very fallible man. It wasn't because he was so great a man that all those people got saved. There's a lot of ingredients. But after Spurgeon died, A.T. Pearson became the pastor. And he said, he made this comment about Metropolitan Tabernacle. I'm just making up some words here because I don't remember the quote exactly. He says, "This church is a prayer machine." He says, there's prayer meetings going on all the time around here. There's prayer meetings on Sunday. There's prayer meetings on Monday. There's prayer meetings on Tuesday. There's prayer meetings all the time. He says, this is a prayer machine here. And I thought about it. I says, you know, kind of makes one night a week of prayer kind of look a little pretty weak, doesn't it? Makes it look pretty wimpy. And then you think about the majority of Christian churches don't even have prayer meeting. And you think, no wonder we're in such a mess today. But, you know, you have to have genuine conversions. You have to be trusting and believing in the God who can do the impossible. Right? So there's this very important perspective I think we have to get at. Number one, God can do the impossible. God can save anyone. Amen? God can save anyone. If God can save anyone, well, then we need to believe it. We need to believe it. And we have to come to grips with reality is that most of the time, we really don't believe it. Most of the time, we live in doubt. Most of the time, we don't think that it can happen. Now, some of you might be spiritual giants out there, but I think that's where most of us are. In doubt. Can't happen. Now, that's why the new evangelicals go to rock music and all the stuff, because they got to do it humanly. But, you know, we still want the real thing, don't you want the real thing? So we have to, number one, believe, realize God says he can do the impossible. Number two, we have to really come to grips. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Or, you know, the fact is most of the time we don't believe it. You know, we do our best, but we don't really believe it. We don't really believe that God can do the impossible. I mean, that needs to be our focus. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then we need to act like we believe it. You know, if we believe that it's God that has to do it, well, then you know what? There's some things we're going to do. Number one, we're going to pray. If we know it's God that has to do it, not us, we're going to pray a lot more. We're going to pray a lot more. And our prayers aren't going to be just a rote repetition. You know what I'm saying? We can get in our prayer group and we can just pray the list, but we don't really expect God to do anything. You know what I mean? We can just pray around the world, but we don't really expect God to do something. We're just doing our duty. Praise the Lord, we're doing our duty. But, you know, just praying all the requests. But you know that the spirit of the prayer meeting, there's no faith there. It's not like we're expecting God to answer. Sometimes we just go through the motions and we do it. Praise the Lord for those who do. But, you know, we need an extra dimension there. You know, what about your prayer group? You praying in faith? Men, when we come on Saturday night, how we just mentioned all the prayer requests, or are we really expecting God to do something? Are we praying to the God that's going to do the impossible? Now, if we believe God's going to do the impossible, it's going to definitely affect our prayer life. Number two, it's going to definitely change our whole willingness and approach to telling people about Christ. You know what I mean? Okay, so how does that work? You could go to Walmart and you'd say to yourself, well, you know, I'd like to build a pass out of tract. But you know, you really think they aren't going to really be interested. I don't know. I'm not very spiritual, right? Well, I'll tell you what. Well, there's no faith there, is there? There's no faith there. It's all doubt. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. And so there's going to be some action. There's going to be some prayer. There's going to be a whole attitude of expectation. And there's going to be, you know, more prayer. And more prayer. And more prayer. And more prayer. And more witnessing. And you know what's going to happen? The impossible is going to happen. That's what's going to happen. People are going to get saved. People are going to get saved. That's how it works. God is going to do it, and he's going to do the impossible. Because God does the impossible. So we need an impossible club. We need a group of people who are going to join together and believe that God can do the impossible. And you know, sometimes it's more than a temporary inspiration. It has to be a new pathway of life. We're attempting God to do the impossible. Now, you know, in one sense of the word, that's why you're here tonight. In one sense of the word, that's why you're here. You believe God can do it. You know that only God can do it, and that the church is built on prayer. But sometimes we just lose the real focus of believing God. And we just sometimes are going through the motions without faith. And so, we're not really going to start a club. But, you know, if we had a club and we said we're going to have people join the Impossible Club, would you join it? Would you join that club? Saying we're going to be praying and acting out what God says, that he's able to do the impossible, that souls can be saved. Amen? We don't have to compromise the Bible in order for souls to get saved. God's still a miracle working God. Amen. Ask yourself the question, will you be a part of the Impossible Club? Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that we can look at the Word of God and be challenged, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. That we can examine our lives about just our spiritual state. That oftentimes, Lord, our state of lethargy and doubt runs our life. And Lord, we need to be on a higher plane, a plane of faith, a plane of trusting you, leaning upon you, living for you, believing, Lord, and showing that in our prayer life. And Lord, we know that you can save the hardest sinner. And Lord, you know there's a lot of comfortable sinners in Mukwonago that don't need to be saved. And there's a lot of addicts in Mukwonago that don't need to be saved. And Lord, there's a lot of rich people that don't need to be saved. There's a lot of proud people who know it all. They don't need you, Lord. But Lord, that's nothing. You're bigger than all of that. Lord, we need to get back to believing that you can do the impossible just like you said. And pray for you to do the impossible. Might, Lord, you encourage us in this area. And even tonight, Lord, evaluate where we are and make a decision about it. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just ask that question. Ask yourself the question. If we had an impossible club, that was a club for people who believe that God could do the impossible, and you would be praying for God to do the impossible and really dedicated to being a part of that praying club and working club, would you join it? You can ask yourself that question tonight. I hope it would be yes. Lord, thank you for your word now and every decision made in our hearts in Jesus' name.